Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, boys and girls, and Sedona, Arizona, and Gary LeMaster, and we don't have, we've got Democratic Perspective this morning, Democratic Perspective, a little, haven't had coffee yet. We're going to talk a little bit about the governor of Arizona this morning. We're going to frame our presentation today on Democratic Perspective. We're going to talk about Governor Doug Ducey. He's coming up, the State of the State address will be this week. Or soon, anyway. And so we're going to give you a little state of the state. And one of the ways we want to do a state of the state is by comparing some of the things in Arizona and some of the things in the state of Minnesota. We're going to compare a blue state and a red state. And I want to start with, let's start with education. During the campaign, Doug Ducey failed. We've had Ducey in office about a year now. And, I've had leadership questions since the beginning. This is not a leader. This is a man who's a wholly bought entity of the Koch brothers.
And others.
Exactly. And he's on record, saying that he is a wholly bought entity of the Koch brothers. During the campaign, The Nation magazine, I said I was going to start with education, but I'm starting with corruption, as far as I'm concerned. The Nation magazine got a copy of a tape of Ducey on record saying that he wasn't running for to be Arizona governor. He was running for ideological reasons, that he's not just trying to win the job of governor in order to manage the state of Arizona. He wants to use Arizona as an expedient to further the ideological interests of the plutocracy that is working to prove the elections are up for grabs by the highest bidder, and winners have a mandate to deliver tax cuts for the wealthiest citizens, crush unions, and generally make it impossible for public education to ever recover from the deep cuts that they've suffered in recent years. And this is from The Nation.
One of the more interesting things that he's come out in favor of, or long term for his governorship, is to do away with the state income tax and to continue. I mean, we've cut corporate taxes 29 out of 30 years.
Yeah.
And he wants to continue to cut those with absolutely no evidence that it works.
Exactly. There's no evidence. Companies won't come to Arizona. They tell the state leaders over and over because of our education system. And you don't cut your revenue. I don't care what kind of business you're running. I don't care what kind of family you're running. You don't bring in less money when your entity is hungry, is starving, is needs money. The education system, the state management, Department of Revenue, Department of Education, the real estate department, all these agencies are suffering. Children, old people. He won't reinstate the cuts to welfare. I'm pointing out, he won't reinstate the cuts to welfare that were made during the recession.
Republicans are always fond of saying that you need to run the government like you would your family finances,
which is absurd.
Well, it is absurd. But if you followed that, for example, in the case of income taxes, if you did away with income taxes, it'd be like quitting your job.
Exactly.
And expecting not cutting any other expenses, or at least minimal other expenses, so you would have no income, and you would still have to pay for your home and all of the utilities, et cetera.
Well, that's it. And I don't want to degenerate into another, which we can do easily on this show, the anti-government, and it does often, if you want to reduce it to that, and we often get down to that. That for whatever reason in 2016 and recently, that the anti-government feeling is strong, and I've said before, we've got households getting 2, 3, 4, 5 checks from the government. The economy is run on government checks.
Well, the whole state takes more money from the federal government than it pays out in return in taxes. I'd like to point out too with the idea of relocating corporations to Arizona by cutting taxes. I've mentioned before that when I worked for ad agencies, we used to do analysis. We were asked to do analysis by big corporations looking for cities and states to relocate to. And the idea of corporate taxes being the big draw, it was always about eighth out of a list of things that the corporations had on their list to look at. Hmm. They always, the number one was, is there an educated workforce, enough people that have the skills that we need to do our job?
Right.
Number two was usually, are there vendors and suppliers in the area that we can easily access to meet our needs? Then you have things like transportation. The education system comes in there, but it's closely related to number one, but it's also in regard to, if we're transferring, workers to that location.
Sure.
What's the education like for their children? What are recreational activities like? What's the cost of living? What are the incentives that the state and the city are going to offer us to relocate?
Including tax incentives.
And then you get to corporate taxes.
Well, that's it. I've seen those lists, and you're absolutely right. They're on the and part of the reason, I believe, that they're so far down the list is they can handle taxes. Taxes, when you control your revenue and you have armies of tax lawyers, that's why, 25% of American corporations pay zero in taxes.
Or less.
That's right. You get huge subsidies from the government.
I've been researching a new book, and one of the things that stood out to me is you continue to hear that the U.S. corporate tax rate is the world's highest. And it's repeated constantly.
It is a mantra. It is a Republican mantra.
And when you look at world statistics comparing the overall tax burden of various countries, the U.S. ranks, depending on your source, between 62nd and 66th for overall corporate tax burden. So, cutting taxes, but in the state of Arizona, in order to attract a business is really not. You're only going to get the businesses that have the lowest paying jobs.
Well, that's it. The only people I hear talk about taxes are small business people, and for whatever reason, and usually it's because they're tax collection workers for the state.
But small businesses never benefit in the same way that large corporations do with tax cuts.
But we want to talk about this comparison between Arizona and Minnesota, a blue state and a red state. We've talked about Doug Ducey, I'm kind of focusing on the government because we have this state of the state coming up. I do want to, we could talk whole shows about the education, now that's the system and funding. 50th in the nation, on almost every chart now. 50th. How many states are there? There's 50. Arizona's last in education. And this guy has a plan, came up with a state trust plan. We're going to talk about the problems with that. But he is seen by conservative press, certainly as a hero. I look at Arizona Capital Times. I look at Mary Jo Pizel in the Arizona Republic. Some of the things we're talking about this morning come from these sources.
The Republic named him Arizonan of the Year, which tells me that they really didn't have many candidates.
The Republic is his personal PR.
Right.
If you go to the web page, and it's he sits down with this little reporter and they have the supposedly live interview. It's all scripted. It's all government office run stuff. I have to admit, Ducey is a manager of information, or at least somebody is in his office, and nothing gets out. There is nothing casual. There is no unguarded statement or unguarded moment except for that one.
Ducey's a salesman. He was a salesman of franchises for Cold Stone Creamery, and he's doing the same thing for Arizona. But those are opinions. I'd like to get into some
exactly.
actual comparison.
He canceled the state energy. We had a state energy office that existed for 75 years. Excuse me, 40-some-odd years. Thank you. And he finally fired the last few employees after 40 years. Excuse me. The last state energy program's employees have been fired or reassigned. His administration has closed the program. This is out of the Arizona Republic. They claimed, I don't know what they claimed. They claimed it was duplicated other places, but he has not, spoken out against the whole refugee thing after Paris. He came out, and I have to admit, there was a barrage of letters criticizing that move.
He just pushed through a new private prison in Arizona, while other states, including states in the South, are cutting back the prison population and closing prisons. Ducey in Arizona just gave another prison to a private prison company. And while others are doing sentencing reform to reduce the prison population, Arizona has not talked about that.
Well, that's it. We're going to hear about prison reform only because it is a national, like you said, a national issue right now during the state of the state address. And it'll be interesting. Nobody sent me a copy.
A bipartisan national issue, I might add.
Exactly. Of the state of the state address. But
can I get into some specifics for the comparison?
Yes, let's go.
It's been fascinating to me to compare my old state of Minnesota to my new state of Arizona. Minnesota and Arizona. And when I left Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty was governor. He was very much a clone of Doug Ducey. And they had been running large deficits under his leadership. They were cutting taxes, running large deficits, cutting from the education system. The business climate had started to turn a bit sour. So in 2010, they elected a new governor, Mark Dayton, who's a Democrat. And we can even take this out of partisan politics. It's just an objective comparison. When Dayton took office in Minnesota in January of 2011, he inherited a $6.2 billion budget deficit, and unemployment was at 7%. Now, understandably, this was part of the Great Recession, partly caused by the Great Recession, but the things that Pawlenty had done leading up to that had made the recession even worse. So one of the first things that Dayton did in Minnesota was to raise state income taxes by 2% on individuals earning over $150,000 a year and couples earning over $250,000 a year. At the same time, they raised the state's minimum wage, passed a bill guaranteeing equal pay for women. The state added 172,000 jobs in the first 4 years of his leadership. By the end of 2015, Minnesota's unemployment rate was fifth lowest in the nation. The unemployment percentage now is about 3.2%. And they're trying to decide how to spend the nearly $2 billion surpluses that the state has brought in over each of the last 2 years. The state's funding of public education ranks number 3 out of all 50 states. And despite its relatively high taxes, it was ranked, CNBC named Minnesota the best state to do business in for 2015.
And what we're talking about here, folks, is the difference between ideological leadership for plutocracy, for the wealthy, for people like the Koch brothers, as opposed to a government for the people. You're going to hear about a state surplus in Arizona, but it's a bogus surplus. You can't have a bogus. You can't have a surplus. I mean, it's easy to have a surplus.
It was cut out of the education
budget.
Well,
yeah, you just cut. I mean, you have your 50th in the nation. That's the money should be the $500 million, whatever they're going to have as a surplus, should go to education easily. It would be a drop in the bucket. It should go to hiring state employees so you can get somebody on the phone when you call the Arizona Department of Revenue or the Arizona Department of Administration or the Arizona retirement system. I hear from retirees all the time that it takes 3-4 days to get a phone call back, maybe, if it gets returned at all.
I'd like to point out one startling statistic between Minnesota and Arizona. Is in Minnesota, the because of its policies, these are policy-driven things. Because of the policies, the median household income in Minnesota is nearly $59,000.
Oh yeah, good one.
And in Arizona, the median household income is under $27,000.
Yeah, that says it all. I think I saw some, even in Yavapai County, the median income is about $34,000. So there's lots of low-income folks in Arizona.
And it's, like I said, it's policy-driven. You can look at states around the country. In researching for my book, been looking at comparing incomes or economics under Republicans versus under Democrats.
Talk about the book.
In general, the economies nationally and in the states do better under Democrats than they do under Republicans. Well, and it's pretty consistent. It's been that way since World War II.
What's the title of your book?
Fact-Free Politics.
Fact-Free Politics. Wait, so we're talking, and I don't want to say his name because the more we say it, it's like, you know, say it three times and the devil shows up. But yes, that's, Bernie Sanders called Donald Trump, and he apologized and he said he doesn't like to do this. A pathological liar. I mean, there's nothing that he says. He said that's true. And yet, he is doing so well, you know. You see in news show after news show that, you know, they didn't think they'd be talking about him by the end of last year, and here they are in January 2016, still talking about Donald Trump in a big way.
He has yet to make any form of policy statement, but he's entertaining, and that's why the media continues to promote him.
Yeah. We do want to jump back into state politics here. The last thing I want to say, or at least on my list here of Doug Ducey, accomplishments or what he's been doing in his first year is he's created, this is kind of a big deal, a state border police force. Much against the, he has the sheriffs up in arms about this, the state sheriffs. So the difference is between,
I thought that was a federal government's job.
Well, that's it, and that's what it is.
And we already have about, as I figured it out, we have one Border Patrol agent along the border, enough for every quarter mile of the border in Arizona. So, you know, how much more, and we have this large fence, how much more resources do we want to put it at the border to try to keep some immigrants out?
So he creates this state border police force, and the Arizona Sheriff's Association sends an open letter to Ducey saying that he should restore money taken from the counties and fix ongoing problems with the State Department of Public Safety before pouring cash into a new state border security strike force. Let's see, the Yuma County Sheriff says, personally, I don't think it's needed. I haven't met a border sheriff yet that says it is. So once again, we have this ideologically driven, in this case, it's an expensive and possibly unconstitutional police force while the schools are crumbling.
let's talk about child safety.
Okay.
when Ducey became governor, you know, prior to his being named governor or elected governor, they had changed the name of Child Protective Services to the Child Safety Department.
Right.
And they increased the funding of the department because there was a huge backlog of uninvestigated claims right. of abuse against children. And neglect. And so there was a huge backlog. So the legislature, one of the few things that they did fund and increased funding for was the Child Safety Department. And Ducey fired the director of it and brought in his own guy. Now we're a year later and the backlog has dramatically increased. There's been a great deal of unhappiness with employees within the department. The one thing the new director did, though, was implement a dress code for the people that work for the department. It's a disaster, and he still stands by his appointment.
Yeah.
Person after person who's looked into it is calling for a change at the top.
Yeah, the press is a lot of stories asking questions about his appointment there, his hire there. We want to talk about.
we could also talk about his new appointment for the Supreme Court.
Exactly, the Goldwater Institute's chief litigating lawyer, Mr. Bullock.
This is a position that it should be in most states something that is relatively nonpartisan. It should be the best attorney available and the least ideological.
Well, don't forget, from either side.
The headline
says that Ducey appoints independent to the Supreme Court. Now, just because a guy registers as an independent doesn't mean he's an independent.
He's continued to sue the state throughout his tenure at the Goldwater Institute. He's one of the most ideological driven attorneys in the state. And now we're going to put him in a position that should be nonpartisan.
Exactly. The state Supreme Court, just like the Federal Supreme Court makes a lot of policy that lasts a long time, you know.
And Republicans both parties have politicized appointments to the Supreme Courts, but this one seems to be way off the charts politically.
You know, while we're on Arizona, I do want to talk a little bit about the McCain race. And I'm going to talk also, there was a piece on comparing the Arizona legislature and the people of Arizona. How representative is the Arizona legislature? And this was a piece in yesterday's Republic. And how representative is the Arizona legislature? Does it look like the population? And this is not going to surprise anyone that it's a lot richer and a lot whiter than the rest of the state. A third of the state is Latino or Latina in some way, and the state legislature is about 19%. There are several comparisons. In some ways, As far as Arizonans go, how many were born? More legislators were native Arizonans than actual Arizonans. I guess that's an interesting thing. At least the native Arizonans. Racially, 74% of the lawmakers are white, non-Hispanic. In Arizona, that's about 56%. So that's one of the largest discrepancies. And African Americans and Asians, at least is on race anyway, we have one African American in the state legislature, one Asian in the state legislature, and they respectively make up about 4% of the population. So gender wise, it's pretty off there too. It's about 63%. Male, about 37% female. The state's about 50-50. Military experience, That's pretty close, actually. The statewide was much less than I thought, by the way. There's about 7.8% veterans, and the legislature is about 10%.
Well, one of the interesting things about the Arizona legislature, to me, being a relative newcomer, I've been here 10 years now, is that you have, especially in LD6, which is our district, you have you have two of the legislators who don't live in the district. And and it's well known that they don't live in the district, yet they keep being elected and reelected to represent a district that they have apparently vacation cabins in or rentals in.
So we want to talk about a couple of things. We're supposed to be a political show. We're supposed to know why is that? Why will our friends and neighbors elect people that don't live here? And one of the answers is, I'm going to ask you, is do they have because they have an R on the ballot next to their name, and so any Republican is okay?
Well, one of the questions that came up at an event I was at last night, the annual meeting for Democrats of the Red Rocks, it was brought up that the first bill that's been put forward in the legislature, one of the very first, primary sponsors are by all three of our LD6 representatives, is a bill that would give Arizona sovereignty. You know, once again, they keep pushing this every year.
Yes.
Sovereignty over the U.S. As if we don't want to be a state of the United States, and that says that we, the state of Arizona, the legislature could decide which of the federal laws it wants to enforce and which ones they want to ignore.
Yeah.
The question was asked, Martins Quezada was the speaker. One of the questions asked, what percentage of Arizonans do you think that represents? How many people in the state of Arizona look at the problems in the state, the high unemployment, one of the nation's highest for unemployment, one of the nation's most impoverished states with one of the lowest household incomes. How many people in the state look at the situation and say, gee, what we really need is a bill that will separate us from the federal government?
That's right. Yeah,
I mean, these people do not represent the majority of Arizonans.
Well, that's it, the lady, and that's it. And you need to let them know. You need to let them know. The other reason, I think we have representatives from our area that don't represent, don't live here, is that's kind of also the nature of the non-urban areas of Arizona. I mean, if you want to get into political analysis, we are a vacation. You know, we live and work in the Sedona area. I have friends that say this is like living in a resort area, you know, and so it's different than
But does it need to be? One of the comparisons I did between Arizona and Minnesota, just to briefly go back to that, is northern Minnesota is very much like northern Arizona. It's mostly forests and national parks and lakes, Boundary Waters Canoe Area, etc. But there's a lot of small towns in northern Minnesota. The unemployment rate for that part of the state, if you would compare it to northern Arizona, the unemployment rate is 2.3%.
Wow.
There are three corporations, manufacturers, in that part of the state. Marvin Windows is one. Polaris is another. The other, I forget the name, is a manufacturer of boilers for heating. They hire people within a 50-mile radius. Mm-hmm. And there is 2.3. They consider 5% unemployment to be full employment.
Sure.
2.3 is unheard of.
It is.
Now take that and compare it to northern Arizona.
Yeah.
Where we have no such manufacturing.
No.
We have a plus 6% unemployment.
Yeah.
We have a great deal of poverty, particularly in the Verde Valley. It's policy driven. It's you can make decisions to change that, but instead what we seem to do is wait for the housing industry to come back to its pre-2008 levels and wait for tourism to pick up. You know, the only reason our unemployment, I believe, is as low as it is because the rest of the country economy has rebounded and those people are spending money and coming to Sedona and they can afford to vacation. But we can't just keep waiting for the traditional, you know, 5 C's to come back and rely on construction and tourism. We have to go out and be proactive and find ways to create jobs in the area. For the people we have living here, not worrying about how many tourists we can get.
Well, that's it. There is no, it doesn't seem like there's any, there's certainly no plans for that. I don't, you know, nobody talks about, and I wish, you know, that candidate that talks about jobs, that talks about bettering the lives of Arizonans, should get some attention.
All three of our LD6, you know, legislators ran on a platform of jobs and education.
And that's the last time they even used the word.
And when they got into the legislature, you know, they've been there now a number of terms. When they got into the legislature, like you say, they've never mentioned those two words again, except to say we'll cut education. You know, they've run as pro education, then they get in and cut funding for education.
Speaking of which, we're going to have a local candidate, Nikki Check was her maiden name, Nikki
Bagley. Nick, former mayor of Jerome is running for state senator and LD6.
Right here, she'll be on our show next week.
The 25th.
I'm sorry. January 20th. It's not next week, but it's soon. That's exactly what's needed, by the way, is a reasonable candidate running against, some of these, ideologically driven,
a young, energetic, candidate who, I think in talking with her she's an educator.
Yep.
She's in charge of the, enology, hope I'm pronouncing it right, the wine program at Clarkdale campus at Yavapai College.
Yes. There's the making part and the growing part.
And I think, you know, just in my, you know, brief talks with her, I'm convinced she will be a great legislator.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to the interview. So please, January 25th, we talked about the lackluster representation and certainly candidates. But that kind of thing, and so she's going to talk about why she came forward. And it doesn't, news source after news source, I don't care whether it's the Arizona Republic, conservative Arizona Republic, or the conservative Arizona Capital Times, it talks about how odd our legislature can be, how that they often make headlines. I'm sure Nikki Bagley's going to talk about it next on the 25th, but I did speak to her at a recent event, and she said, yeah, it just looks so bad, you know, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it was certainly, she'll talk about why she's running and what she believes that she can do down there. Go ahead.
It's amazing when you know, bringing it back to education for a moment.
Yeah.
When you look at us being, depending on how you measure it, being 47th to 51st, you know, behind Washington, D.C. in education in the state. One of Ducey's big accomplishments that the Arizona Republican heralded was his deal to that he negotiated to take money out of the future of the state trust fund.
State Land Trust
to put towards education. And it's heralded as this great deal,
right.
But it doesn't even begin to meet the constitutional obligation as passed by voters in Arizona.
Well, that's it. That needs to be said over and over. You know, I see things. If this doesn't make Doug Ducey's critics happy, well, then there's just no making us happy. But it's bogus. Go ahead.
It's, you know, the courts ordered the legislature to start paying $331 million a year in voter-mandated inflation funding. The deal, by taking it out of the Land Endowment Trust Fund, would pump $3.5 billion into K-12 over the next decade. Well, that sounds like a really good deal.
Yeah.
But that's a fraction. I mean, that's a fraction. That's over 10 years. Divide the $3.5 billion.
Yeah.
It's not even coming close
exactly.
to meeting the inflation that was required.
See, that's because you went to school someplace else. Other than you can do that kind of math.
It's a joke.
Good,
and
yeah.
even the state treasurer, a Republican, is against the deal.
Yes.
And he says it's mortgaging the future of our schools in order to allow Ducey and allow more tax cuts in the short term. It's really, you know, it's going to be on the ballot, and a lot of educators are promoting it. I'm not sure I want to vote for it because I think we can do better.
Well, that's the other thing. Doug Ducey's office, one of his aides, J.P. Twist, is going on the road to sell this. It shouldn't have to be sold. I mean, if it was a good deal, you wouldn't have to give one of your guys a year off or the next 5 months off. But correct me if I'm wrong, this is a May 17th election. It was supposed to be information, if not just whining about crap.
One of the things I think is that we can't lose sight of, and I think it has, the whole political discussion has ignored this fact. They say that the money was cut from education in order to balance the state budget.
Right.
Right? So to keep from running even bigger deficits.
Which
than
is
we
another
did.
Lie, by the way.
It is, because the money was given, it was taken out of education and given to corporations and the wealthy in tax cuts. The only reason that the education fund was cut was in order to make corporate tax cuts permanent and to continue to cut them. It's you know, if you look at it in the proper light, it's taking money from our children and from our future and giving it to some greedy corporations that are not benefiting the state in the way that they should be.
Okay, well, if I was out there, I'd say greedy corporation. We didn't ask for it, they would say. You know, who's asking for it? I don't know. Am I missing this big hue and cry from Arizona corporations saying, please, 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 your taxes are too high. We need a tax cut. We can't pass some of these on to our customers, which is not true.
It's
nobody's asking for it. This is just, but we know it's the most politically expedient thing you can do when you have an R after your name is to
promise tax cuts, create fear, and promise tax cuts.
That's right.
The whole thing is completely ideologically driven. The idea, you know, when Ducey says that he wants to eliminate the state income tax, and he wants to continue to cut corporate taxes. The whole idea is to, you know, where's the money going to come from?
Well,
the money's going to come from the most regressive form of taxes available, and that's the state sales tax.
Right.
Local sales tax.
And that's the other big concern of, this analysis I haven't completed yet, but the state land trust, sales taxes, they're not reliable. That's why states have income taxes. That's why states have other taxes besides sales and in this case, basing school funding on the state, which also is volatile, goes up and down. may not be a steady source of income that they hope it to be. That's why they have to go out and sell it. So it'll be real interesting to see. Now, the Poor Arizona Education Association, the quote-unquote union, has to decide, at least as this goes forward, what their positions are going to be. You can't, and once again, you know, the Arizona School Board Association, Arizona Education Association, these groups are in a tough place. How do you argue in a state that's where education funding is so low, so ineffective, so inadequate, against more funding for education, no matter how bad it is?
Well, and I would like to you know, put into context the pushing the
we can though
pushing the state funding of you know, education and everything, and you know, the government does in the state, which isn't that much.
Yeah, exactly.
Prisons and education, prisons more than education, is by pushing, you know, doing away with income taxes or cutting income taxes and corporate taxes and pushing it onto sales taxes. Imagine what a percentage increase in taxes the sales tax is for households making the median state income of less than $27,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's an enormous,
yeah,
you know, cut to their income. That takes money away from them to buy food, to send kids to school, to put them in extracurricular activities. It's a huge deal. Pay their utilities.
Well, that's it. A lot of voters don't think to the second level of what state tax is. They think it's fair. If the more you spend, the more. If you got it, you spend it, and but it doesn't work that way. It's a killer a part of your income, and you know, and it'd be great if people in low incomes ate less than people in higher incomes, but it's not true. They still need pretty much. You got to eat the same amount of food. You got to have clothing and shelter, and those things are just, when you have a state sales tax, it's just such a higher. Even if you're not paying a tax on food, it's still just a higher percentage of your income. It just impacts low-income people just much greater than it does people with more income.
Especially in rural areas where people have to drive, you know, relatively long distance to get to work.
Well, that's it. I want to mention real quickly, I see Kelly Ward has resigned from the state Senate to run against John McCain.
And Kirkpatrick.
And yep, and Kirkpatrick. So we're going to follow that race in the next 6 months. It's going to be real interesting. We're going to get into the more on the education deal as it's sold to the Arizona public in the next 5 months.
And I'd like to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks for their support and financial support for our show. And
you went to their annual meeting last night. They gave us an award.
They gave us a certificate of appreciation, which it seems like it ought to be in reverse. We should be giving them a certificate of appreciation.
So that was a
quite nice surprise.
I have been talking to Gulch Radio to get them to rebroadcast our fine show to all three Democrats in Jerome and others, but right now we're still talking. We're still in negotiations. We have to hum a few rock and roll tunes in order to get on Gulch Radio. Maybe you and I could do like Avalanche.
And I want to say I hope Steve is feeling better.
Steve, yeah, we missed you.
Steve Williamson was our usual host. Is home sick, and I hear he's getting better, but hope he gets well soon.
Well, some people just can't take, you know, the Arizona winters. They just, you know, they're just brutal.
Especially when it snows.
Those New Yorkers can't handle it. Okay, our show will be on VVID.org. Please catch our podcast. There's some good ones, folks, on VVID.org. All our old shows.
And thanks for listening.
Yeah, we have lots going on. We have Nikki Bagley will be on soon. We'll have
other candidates. Tom O'Halloran.
The election year is coming. We got lots and lots and lots to talk about. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.